Hey, everybody.
Hi, guys. Well, from beautiful Salt Lake City, Utah.
It's Frank Dot on Incubus,
the podcast.
I'm Frank.
And I'm Dan.
Coming up on today's episode, another installment of What Mormons Believe.
Yeah.
This time we're going to be looking at DNC, that's Doctrine and Covenant, 132.
Yeah.
And that means nothing to most of you.
But it will.
Lucky stars. Yeah, for those of you who are familiar, and those of you who might be looking forward to hearing about it, it's about, we're going to be talking about the Mormon, celestial marriage stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Eternal marriage is what you'll hear them say more likely.
Marriage is they don't have celestial marriage anymore.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah,
so we're going to get into that.
But it's for time and all eternity.
Yes. They kept part of it. They kept the fact that it was still legal. The fact that it was ever legal in the United States. And
right.
And then the rest of it's just kind of there for show.
It's not like the rest is illegal.
No.
It's just not. It doesn't mean anything.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway. Well, but yeah, that's something to look forward to in part two.
Yeah.
Of our program.
Coming up later. All right.
So, where you go?
Well, I'd like to take this one straight from the file that I've marked, Man of God.
Oh, the question mark.
Mm-hmm. This has to do with a, let me just pull this up real quick so I can get it right. The headline from the Salt Lake Tribune says, LDS branch leader booted after sexual assault charge, and right underneath that says, man allegedly groped girl, attacked her mom, bit her, her brother's penis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw that one, too.
Yeah. So,
remind you,
it makes me laugh. There's something about it that makes me laugh.
What's amazing to me is I read it, because he, apparently he, well, you do the story, yeah, and then we'll talk about it.
I'll do that. So on May 8th, Efrey Guzman, 46, who was a branch president in the In the smaller units, instead of having a bishop at the head of the ward, they call them branches, and right, they have a president.
So it's like a parish that's too small to be a full parish.
Exactly.
So they, and you know, this usually in Utah, if you have a branch, it's because they speak a different language.
Yes, exactly.
So these are clearly, this is a Latino branch.
Exactly. It should just be called a Spanish language branch, but it is. Anyways, on May 8th, Guzman knocked on the door of the 13-year-old girl's house down in Sandy, and anyways, he assaulted her. I won't get into details too much. He grabbed her, hugged her tightly, started kissing her on the mouth. Okay, not funny. Not funny at all.
No.
On August 2nd, some time passed. No report was filed with the police.
No.
When that happened.
Because he's their ecclesiastical leader. You don't report them to the police unless something so abominable has happened. But you try and solve it within the confines of the church or whatever.
And then, August 2nd, Guzman returned to the house, asking to see the girl again. The mother answered the door, refused to let him see her. And told
which is the right choice.
Yeah.
When someone has knocked on your door and then immediately jumped in and assaulted somebody, you don't let that somebody back in.
So anyway, so he pushes his way in, starts attacking the girl, rips off her top, so forth and so on,
attacks the mom, right?
Attacks the mom, and then the son, he's like, if I remember right, he's like 20.
Yeah, he's like 20.
He comes running in. And Guzman attacks the son, grabs his penis from his boxer shorts, and, quote, bit his penis, causing severe damage that required injury, according to charging documents. And then, of course, he's being held in Salt Lake County Jail, $300,000 bond, all this kind of stuff. But anyways, so what this leads me to, and why I think it's actually important to bring
up. But anyway.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I read it, and, like, first of all, it got forwarded to me, and I think the subject line said LDS penis biter.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
I was just like, what the hell? And then, but I started thinking about this, and you know, I mean, this goes back to the whole thing of call of God, right? Like, somebody had a good feeling about this guy, called him to be the branch president, And so I kind of put together a little flow chart thing.
Okay.
So God called Joseph to be a prophet.
Yeah.
Which leads down direct line, the prophets, all the way down to today.
Sure.
Right. And then they called all the fake presidents who call all the local leaders. So some fake president called Guzman.
Right.
So apparently God wanted this kid's penis bit.
Wow. That's quite... Your logic is impeccable. I'm going to have to... First of all, can I just stop for a moment and go and just point out that this man's idea of, like, how to handle a violent situation. You've got a 20-year-old young man coming at you. I know how to stop this guy in his tracks. Let me just get my hand down his pants. And, hand's not good enough. No, you know what? I'm going to bite it. I'm going to bite his dick.
Yeah.
That's what we need. That's exactly what's needed. That's what's called for.
There's obviously a lot wrong with this guy.
Like, so, crazy town wrong, right?
Yeah, this is like Florida State.
He doesn't go to like, I gotta punch this guy, I gotta kick this guy, I gotta get him out of commission. It's like, I know what'll really do the trick.
Well, what has this guy's life been like?
What, right?
You know, like, how is the... So, first of all, okay, sexual assault, that's a serious problem.
It's never...
But
yeah,
you never... You assume... I mean, that people who, you know... Go around insulting people that they've had something happen to them, right?
Yeah, you know that something has gone horribly, horribly wrong.
Something's gone wrong in their life,
yeah.
And most likely some sort of result of some kind of abuse themselves.
Yeah, you think?
But this is
crazy.
But anyways, I just thought that it's. Because it's not that great of a story for the podcast anyway. But then I was just like, no. Like, this is absolutely, this guy was called of God.
See,
and I think that's where I wish people who belong to these communities would actually start to see it that way.
Right. Right.
Be like, oh, well, what broke down here? Like, I hope that because the article also has, like, quotes from the church, like, Salt Lake Church headquarters. Saying that, he will be dealt with after the law has dealt with him, we will deal with him.
Right. He's of course been removed from...
Of course, he's already been removed from all that kind of stuff.
Office or whatever.
But
that's... Here's the thing. One of the things that this points out is that if this stuff happens in the Catholic Church, and Catholics don't have just any old buddy to be their priest. You got to go through school.
Yeah.
There was a training and a weeding out like process.
Yeah.
And if guys are getting through that process and then assaulting people, now mind you, I guess this goes through two ways. I'll finish that thought and then I'll get back to this other thought that I'm having now.
Mm-hmm.
But like if God, guys that get through all of that and are still like assaulting people, if you just take Joe Schmo Layman, who seems like a pretty good guy, out of the congregation, and just say,
"You got a good feeling about it."
Yeah, okay.
He prayed and
your turn.
Yeah,
Guzman, get up there. this is a flawed system.
No, it's got serious problems. Like just putting regular old people in charge of, like, they've done nothing. They weren't selected from amongst, like, it wasn't democratic. Which like. Hopefully you're weeding out the bad apples just from the people.
Yeah, and hopefully someone in the area has been like, oh, I had a bad experience.
Yeah,
and you can't win against that or something.
That's what it would be.
Right.
But instead it's this top-down thing, so people always feel like they can't say anything. Because not only questioning...
Right. Not only can't they, they feel like they're wrong if they do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
There's something wrong with them.
And I love that Mormons do this. I don't think we've talked about this before, but when somebody gets called to do anything, being the bishop of the ward down to being the librarian who hands out materials during Sunday school, right?
The chorister for the children.
Everybody gets sustained. Right?
Yeah, the whole
thing. And it has the appearance of being democratic because they have the person stand up, they announce that this person's been called, and they say, all those in favor, and hands go up.
Everybody raises a hand.
Any opposed? never a hand.
Never. No one's ever opposed.
No one ever opposes. I grew up in the church. I never saw it happen.
I've never seen it happen once.
You saw it happen once?
No, I said I've never seen it happen.
Oh, yeah.
It's just one of those things where it's like, everyone will be way too embarrassed.
Oh, yeah.
And this is in the big meeting where everybody's there.
It's an excitement meeting, yeah.
And I want to see what happens. I want to see what a bishop does when they're like, are there any opposed? And then somebody's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Me.
Yeah.
Does the bishop go, one against, and then move on? Or just like, oh.
The eyes have it.
Yeah, exactly.
he still wins. No, I'm sure that person would be called back to the bishop's office.
Right.
It would be a very serious discussion.
Right.
You know. But that's so public.
And nobody's going to do it.
There's a psychological thing of you just consented.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, that's true.
You're on board.
Whether or not you left your hand down in favor that you didn't oppose.
Right.
And so
you had your chance.
You had your chance.
To vote.
To not, well, yeah.
It's not a vote.
It's not a vote.
Certainly not a vote. It's an opportunity to sustain this person.
You're basically just raising and saying hi.
In your words, did they use the language with the uplifted hand? Do you signify with the uplifted hand? Did they ever say that in your words?
Something about the...
All those who can sustain this good sister in her calling, please signify with the uplifted hand.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Any opposed?
Did they say opposed?
Yeah.
Any opposed? This is not how these people talk in their daily lives.
Didn't they say the voting is unanimous? Don't they say that?
I've never heard that.
Never heard that one?
Maybe. Maybe they have. But I've never heard it.
Let the record show that the voting is unanimous.
Except for Brother Smith, and he always votes against, so we just ignore it.
We had him leave.
Yeah.
And now the voting is unanimous.
Brother Smith, could you please leave? We're going to have another vote.
We'd like this vote to be unanimous.
Oh, well, hey, speaking of clergy, let's jump from Mormonism, where the clergy is all from the congregation and has to have their own money because they're devoting. It's like getting another full-time job,
oh, yeah.
And you don't get paid.
Oh yeah, no.
And so usually the person that they call to be a bishop in a LDS ward is a guy who's already making good money.
Yeah.
So that they don't have to worry about it.
Yeah,
because bishops can't give themselves ward help.
No,
anyone else in the ward can go up to the bishop and say, I need help. We're struggling to make our bills.
The bishop can't.
When I worked for T-Mobile, for the cell phone company,
mm-hmm.
People would every now and then come in and pay a check that was like from the ward.
God.
Hey, so that's how they pay their bills.
Their welfare system is unbelievable.
Yeah. Anyway.
If the state were to run anything like that, my God.
It would be outrageous. How dare they?
And here they are just, like, paying people's cell phone bills?
Yeah.
Come on.
That's outrageous. How about we get food for cell phone, like, distant tent?
Yeah, no kidding.
Anyway.
Oh, my God.
It's not my business. Well, why am I getting involved? I'm not paying tithing anymore. Anyway, jump from that to Israel.
Mm.
Dateline Israel.
Oh,
And apparently an interesting article from NPR... that actually I was turned on to by Paul on Facebook.
Oh.
And it is about rabbis who are among the wealthiest citizens of Israel.
Really?
Oh, these gentlemen get paid.
Really?
The really good rabbis, the ones that you really want to seek their counsel or whatever. Those guys are millionaires.
How do they get paid? Do you pay them for, like, hey, Rabbi, I need some advice?
Yep. You give donations, and the rabbi, yeah. I mean, these guys do major speaking gigs.
Oh, well, speaking gigs is one thing.
Sure. But yeah, they cultivate celebrity. Like, these rabbis aren't just, like, rabbis. These are big-time... celebrity speakers and gurus. I mean, we're talking Tony Robbins and, you know, Bill Clinton all wrapped in one.
Bill,
I was trying to think of somebody else who's pulling down big money for
something. All right. Okay.
Yeah, these guys.
Wow.
The sixth richest rabbi with an estimated worth of $23 million.
Whoa.
Forbes ranked one of these guys.
That's not easy being a rabbi.
It's the easiest thing in the world to be a rabbi.
They deserve every penny. every
shekel?
Shekel.
Every mite.
Oh, no. That's kind of bizarre.
Like,
you say they cultivate celebrity. I mean, do they do like TV gigs and that kind of stuff?
I get the sense that they do.
They have tabloid magazines that follow them and paparazzi with...
They build the quote from the thing is that they build their own rabbinic franchises.
What?
Yeah, there's like a it's like yoga. It's like Bikram or something.
Oh no!
You get all these people that are like, yeah, these guys are really they. I'm telling you, I want to be a religious leader.
I know, right?
I think I would do a great job. Everybody would get. At least par advice. At least on par.
Oh, absolutely.
And I'd get paid.
And they would say that it was good advice.
They would say it was amazing advice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, why don't we just delete all the episodes?
Call it, thank God,
of the internet of everything, this podcast, and then you can go do that.
Or just do a different podcast.
Or you could convert. You could find God. Former atheist.
Oh
rabbi.
My gosh, the cocoons just started going off in my head.
Grew up Mormon, turned atheist,
was an outspoken atheist.
Outspoken.
This is a headline.
Yeah.
Outspoken atheist becomes religious leader.
Oh, they would flock to me.
Oh, they would love you.
Oh,
and I use it. Everything I said about it when I was an atheist.
Oh,
when I was in my dark times. Ladies,
don't stop the dark times.
Brothers and sisters.
Speak about the dark times.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Oh, it was awful. I had 10% more money. I spent Sundays playing and lounging by a pool with alcohol. It was terrible.
Sing Dan. Sing Dan. Wasn't that what they were saying at the Grace Calvary?
Oh, yeah.
Sing Greg. Sing Greg.
Anyways.
Oh, Lord.
Alright. Okay. If you guys see me out there,
know that it's
doing them. Just,
no, right now.
I would be pretty cynical about that if I were you. If you see me out there preaching, I'd take that with a pretty big grain of salt.
Oh. Opportunist. Atheist opportunist turns religious leader.
I like it.
Yeah.
They're all opportunists. Some of them are just more, more obvious about it.
Alright, well here's one. News from Tennessee. This is an update from a story that we talked about a while back.
Ooh, Tennessee.
In Murfreesboro. Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
Right.
The mosque got built.
It did.
It did get built.
Yes.
A couple years of delays.
Yeah. And it looked, even just like a couple months ago, it looked like it wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
Because a court had
got involved and all sorts of stuff. Well, a higher court kind of, paved the way for it.
Yeah.
And so anyways, yeah, so this is brand new news. It's barely open. I just thought it was worth kind of bringing up that they won. That they overcame the hatred and intolerance of their community.
We shall overcome.
But in Arabic,
we shall.
I was also wondering, what the angry atheist response here? Because here we are, we're two atheists, and we're like, oh hey, go Muslims!
We're like, yay! It actually
mainly, we're just happy that some rednecks lost, right?
Well, I'm just happy. Well. when I heard...
Who do I like more?
Well, it's not even that. It's
believers or rednecks?
Well, the rednecks are believers.
Well, that's true, too.
The problem for me is that what I like is freedom. I like the concept that everybody gets to do what they want and without getting too bugged about it, as long as they're not infringing on other people's rights.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, Yeah, go them. And the problem is that they were the ones whose rights were being infringed upon.
Yeah.
They were the ones that were being blocked for no reason.
Right.
You believe exactly the same thing as they do, just with different clothes.
Well, yeah,
and different diet.
But the rednecks were claiming, they were claiming that it's not a real religion. What was that?
I saw a thing where they were claiming, where they were saying, yeah, it's not a, they don't deserve First Amendment rights.
Yeah.
Because not just because it's not a real religion, but because they have a political goal to take over this country.
Right.
That's what somebody said.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
They have a stated political goal to take over the country. Where is that?
That's the sixth pillar. Very infrequently talked about the sixth pillar of Islam.
It's 32nd pillar of Islam. They've got it's buried way in the back of the pillars, but it's there. It's just, that's a definite pillar.
Yeah.
That's what they want to do. There are guys, apparently right next door to this place in Murfreesboro, there's a Baptist church or something like that.
Oh, hey.
And, yeah, there were people out there in their redneck deck chairs with praying against this place. And
redneck deck chairs?
I don't know. I don't know what they were sitting in. I'm just trying to paint a picture.
Oh, okay. Probably some camp chairs they bought at the Piggly Wiggly.
Right, exactly.
Or Kroger.
Kroger. Or, do you remember the ones, the old chairs, the old backyard chairs with the mesh, the woven mesh?
I loved those. Why can't you find those anywhere?
Those are great.
But they're and they hadn't, I remember my mom getting repair kits.
Oh,
the mesh. I mean, it was a standard thing.
Oh, it was a staple. I once cut the mesh off of one and cut entirely and replaced it with duct tape.
Yeah.
And made a duct tape shirt.
Sure.
Yeah, whatever.
Sticky, probably.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's more of a concept piece, really, than a chair.
Oh, okay. Museum piece.
Anyway, there are guys sitting praying against the mosque.
Just sitting there.
Yeah, just praying against it.
Just with one hand lifted up, just head down, hand up in the air.
Dear Lord, please make these goddamn Muslims go away. Please make them all not be here anymore and stop blowing up our things. And
yeah.
Please blow them up.
Yeah.
They need Jesus, amen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of blowing things up, that's what movie I saw last night.
What?
Was it Dark Knight Rises or something like that?
What'd you think?
Did you see that?
No, not yet.
No.
You didn't like it?
I didn't like it.
Andrea was excited about it. She thought it was great.
Oh. I have a hard time with Batman.
Oh. Well, I like Batman.
I like the old campy Batman. I don't like...
You don't like the Christopher Nolan reboot?
No.
Okay. I do. And I like Tom Hardy. You like that Tom Hardy, don't you?
Yeah,
you gotta say anything.
But the thing on his face was disturbing as hell.
Well, yeah, you don't even get to see his pretty little mug.
No, and that's half of what you want to see.
Indeed. Anyway.
So, it was disturbing. It was disturbing. I found it disturbing.
Ooh,
stuff was blowing up like...
Yeah, I mean, that's disturbing.
I don't like it.
Did you find that it was added disturbance because of what happened?
Well, there was that moment. When, where there was a lot of, gunfire, and I was like, ooh, wow. It was palpable for me. I really was quite aware of that. But no, there was just some pretty disturbing stylized violence in it that I really did not appreciate.
Well, if you follow the trajectory of the first two, it had to go in that direction.
Well, sure, but again, not that I love the violence of the other two, but I don't know, I can be kind of, I less and less respond well to that kind of violence in movies.
Okay.
If it's war violence, it's a totally different thing, right? Because it's historic or something, but this is it's just somebody dreamt it up, and it's just extreme, and I don't care for
it. Oh, okay. All right. The war violence, I find more disturbing because it's real. War violence is actually a commonplace thing.
Well, yeah. And don't take what I said as meaning that I'm not,
you're moved by it.
Why are you a pro-war
activist?
Yeah, right.
You're a hawk.
Yeah, that's exactly me. But no, there's something, it was it serves a purpose being it in that kind of film, whereas it's just so pointless in these kind of films.
And perhaps there is an argument to be made that there's a desensitization problem when you see that much wild violence on that level.
As opposed to
a war film, which is meant to sensitize you to the violence. You're meant to feel it in a way that doesn't make it okay.
Right.
Yeah, okay. I mean, that argument might hold some water.
Stylized.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That may hold some water. I mean, who knows? Maybe the guy that shot up the cinema in Colorado was affected by images of stylized violence.
Well, I mean, yeah. Who knows?
We can't make that claim. Anyway, I'm going to lift the mood mildly. Not too far, because you brought us down pretty far.
I'm just saying. It bothered me.
Yeah, I know. Clearly. And it was just absolutely, like, absurd.
Like, yeah, all characters shifts and moves and stuff where, like, all of a sudden one person who was, like, I don't want to ruin it for anybody, but somebody who was good and all of a sudden bad. And you're just like, and somebody who was bad and all of a sudden good.
Is it Alfred that goes bad? I would feel so bad if it wasn't
Alfred. I'm not going to ruin it for anyone.
Okay, good. Okay. It's Alfred, you guys.
But, well, I should, because I didn't like the movie. I just, like,
this is a spoiler.
Just spoil the movie for the guy.
No, because I haven't seen it yet.
Anyway, so
I'm going to move on. Can we move on? Or you do
well, say a few words and we'll see what happens.
That's a good point. I'm going to move just slightly from Murfreesboro over to Missouri.
Okay.
Because a big thing happened in Missouri, which was that they passed an amendment to their state constitution.
Is that what it's called now?
What I'm calling it.
Okay.
And this amendment came to be fondly known as the Right to Pray Amendment, which apparently they felt like they didn't have.
Wow. Okay, so what have they declared?
Well, they believe that school children should have the right to pray and acknowledge God voluntarily in their schools. And that was the big thing that everybody was rallying around. Which, they already had that right.
Yeah.
But they want it to be enshrined. This is an enshrined right now. Now they can pray. You still can't, like, the U.S. Supreme Court has made it clear you can't force a kid to pray in church.
In school. I think you can in church.
Yeah, you might be able to. The really fun stuff with this amendment is when you start to get to the fact that you can't violate a child's religious beliefs in school. And what that can end up meaning is that, like, for instance, what they want you to do, what they want it for is so that, like, if somebody wants to teach evolution, the child can say, I don't believe in that, and then, like, have some recourse to either not take that segment of the class or whatever. There was a story about how some teacher, and I don't even know that I believe that this actually occurred, but there was a story about a teacher who gave a classroom assignment. What was it? I don't know if I can find it right away. It was just like to write a letter thanking Obama for the health care or something like that, or something. And so, like, they're trying to make it so that you can't force kids to actually think liberal thoughts or whatever. But the truth of the matter is that now what they've done is they made it so that if a kid's smart, they can get out of just about anything.
Yeah, yeah.
Because honestly, that's when I, as a kid, started a religion called My Religion's Against Math.
we're a numerologist.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
You are violating, because I believe that math is of the devil, numbers are the devil's tools. And you're violating my rights by trying to make me learn them.
Yeah.
Give me my degree, please. Give me my high school diploma.
Well, you'd have to learn something in its place.
Okay. Can I learn Jesus?
No.
I will learn art. Thank you very much. Oh, I'm sorry. They stopped teaching art classes.
How did you be up to the creek? I'm just saying. If you try to pull that.
Oh, my God. Yeah, so that's what you got now. Good job, Missouri. Now, it's definitely legal to do stuff that it was already legal to do, which is for kids to pray voluntarily.
These non-binding resolutions that city councils will pass,
right?
You know, stating...
But this is not non-binding. This is a big thing.
It's not that it's non-binding, but it's
also putting pointless. But it's not pointless. Here's what it puts... Here's one of the... Because this has some teeth to it. And what it means is that teachers now... Like, there was a story that somebody told where a teacher had gone and stopped the kid. Like, there were kids praying. And like, in some weird, inappropriate time. Like, it was class time or something, and kids are praying. And the teacher was like, look, do that on your own time. Let's just do this. And now, kids can just pray. And teachers are in a position where, like, you're going to try and stop that when you know that the force of the entire, like... So the state's like 80-something percent Christian,
mm-hmm.
and that's, of course, the Christian minority that we're discussing.
Sure, yeah.
The oppressed...
They must be a numerologist, actually.
Yeah. exactly. Maybe all of them got out of math somehow. Because, 83% of the vote. 83% of the people voted for this amendment. That doesn't even include any believers who might have just said, maybe this isn't really the right way to go. Which has got to have been some. 83% of these people.
Apparently not. Apparently they all voted for it. And the rest of the godless people didn't.
It's crazy. I just think of that. That's just nuts, though. I honestly want to go down there and enroll kids in school and just tell them to go crazy with the cleaning everything religion.
Go pray.
Just go nuts.
Go pray, kids.
If you don't want to do anything, you just say it's against your religion, and I will back you up.
Excuse me, I don't want to take a shower at the gym.
It's against my religion.
I need to pray. I'm going to pray this sweat away.
I'm going to pray. Excuse me, I don't do any class or homework materials.
Because I'm busy praying after school?
Duh.
I pray. What do you do after school?
I am against... pen, pencil, and computer technology in my religion. We can't do that. You want me to touch this pencil? I can't.
Excuse me while I respond to this text.
Exactly. I'm only allowed to touch cell phones and iPads.
Oh,
but not
Lord.
For homework.
Hey, a lot of schools are going to iPads. They better watch out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You better not have a religion that's against iPadery.
No, because you'll be left out.
You will.
That's not fun. All right.
Anyway.
Well, I think, did we mention that it's Ramadan?
Ramadan. Ramadan-a-ding-dong.
Obama.
Is it still?
It is still, yes, I think so.
Okay.
Because this article is not old. Obama hosts Ramadan dinner at White House.
I do like to say Ramadan dinner because it just sounds fun.
And for those of you who don't know, during the month of Ramadan, it is a month. It's a calendar month.
It's not a lunar month?
Well, that's lunar.
Okay.
But it's a calendar.
Anyway.
Okay. And so anyways, during the month of Ramadan, Muslims fast during the day.
Right.
And they then have these big feasts after the sun goes down.
Yeah.
And these feasts are called, it was either Iftar or Ifta, something like that.
Mm.
It's a big deal. Ramadan is, it's supposed to be a very spiritual time for Muslims, but they also like have these big parties, Iftar parties, after the sun goes down. They also will set the clock super early so they can eat right before the sun comes up.
Sure. Well, I would.
Yeah, I would. Absolutely. And then go back to bed.
I would be eminently aware of when the sun was going to be out.
Absolutely. I just thought that, Obama hosting a Ramadan dinner will have a certain ring to certain members of our...
Depending on how much traction... I haven't heard of this, so far it hasn't gotten much traction.
Mm-hmm.
But with as nasty as the politics are getting right now, I wouldn't be surprised to see like some super PAC supporting Mitt Romney coming out with a TV commercial that's like, Obama had a support for Muslims, but how does he, but he doesn't like the Christians. Or, you know, just something.
Well, I mean, all they have to do is just keep suggesting that he is Muslim.
Right.
A secret Muslim.
Right.
Because he went to a madrasa as a kid.
It wasn't really a madrasa, but it was an Islamic school.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah, there is a difference. But
okay.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, he attended an Islamic school.
Yes.
And so there's all these links.
Yeah.
You know, to
his middle name is Hussein.
Hello, people. Why can't people see it? That's what I don't understand.
It's shocking.
It's so obvious.
It's clear
that man is just pretending to be Christian.
So obvious.
Like his poor children.
Because no good Christian would ever be a Democrat.
Yeah. Well, he's obviously a very good Muslim man, having made sure that he has a veiled Muslim life.
Right, yeah.
And that his two daughters are veiled and all of that. So he's obviously, he is in deep cover.
He clearly he must be in deep cover because he doesn't
non-halal
meat.
Yes.
That's true.
He is a bad Muslim.
If he is a Muslim, Allah is pissed with that guy.
Yeah, he's a bad Muslim.
He's a horrible Muslim. He's like the worst Muslim ever. Yeah. Someone should write a book about him called The Worst Muslim Ever.
Oh, that'd be a good book.
Or a book about me called that, I suppose.
You can write that book about a lot of people.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Apparently, and this may be the reason why it's not getting a ton of traction, but I just figured that some idiot would be crowing about this. It's not like Obama was the first one to have a Ramadan dinner at the White House.
No.
So,
no.
Bill Clinton, both Bill Clinton and George W. Bush did the same
thing. W did it too?
W did it as well.
Okay. Yeah, I would assume he would. I mean, it's just one of those things, it's one night. You don't have to do a lot.
No.
It is interesting that they don't wait till the end of Ramadan and do the big feast thing.
Well, that's kind of more for families and whatnot. So
yeah.
He's just kind of slipping in there in the middle.
Sure.
Acknowledging the existence of Muslims in this country.
Yeah. The ending of Ramadan is a huge celebration.
Oh, yeah. Well, they can eat again.
Yeah, it's Mardi Gras Ramadan. Or something like that.
My poor little Muslim student is always just like, she comes into class and she just looks so exhausted, actually. And the other kids will be, and topic of food will come up, or
they'll be self-snacking,
right? And I'm always like, everyone, you know, just be nice. Maybe you should, like,
be considerate.
Be considerate. Just think about her. Yeah.
She's fun. Her stupid choice to be in the stupid religion. She should just.
She kind of grew up in it. Not a lot of choice.
That's true.
So, I mean, at this point, she should be about to make a choice, but I don't know if she will.
I wonder if the rednecks in Murfreesboro will ever catch on to the whole Ramadan thing and just go and eat in front of their Islamic neighbors.
Have a barbecue.
Yeah.
In front of the mosque.
Right in, a daytime barbecue right out in front
That's
of
a
the mosque.
Terrible idea. That makes me angry. You just made me an angry
I like it. I like this idea. If you're going to be pissed off and you want to really piss off the Muslims, do that. Just go and have
pork.
Yeah, just fry up some pork on your grill right in front of their thing. Make it smell real good. Oh my goodness, that's funny.
Terrible.
Okay, so
terrible.
Speaking of terrible.
What?
You know, we have spoken to this guy, Brian Fisher, before.
Mm-hmm.
He's of the American Family Association. Which,
oh, hey, that's
you
nice.
Know, I...
Are you having
a it's a different American family. You know, it's funny, because I'm pro-family. I like people to have families.
I don't.
Okay.
I'm anti-family.
Yeah, I know. But I'm not. I'm big on the families, but boy, I see the word family associated with an organization.
You know it's bad.
That's going to go wrong.
Bad.
Something very bad. They don't believe in family. They believe in hating somebody. You're not about family. Who do you hate?
Yeah.
Tell me who you hate.
Put it front and center.
Right.
We are the anti-gay coalition.
Right, exactly.
You know.
Yeah, if it says family, it means we hate queers.
Something
that's
wrong.
All that means.
Yeah, there are others.
Yeah, I don't know. I think family code was for queer.
For
hating queer.
Hating queer.
Yeah. Right. So, I mean, there are other organizations that are code words for hating other things. Hmm. Like the American, you see, Christian
family would be like tied to like abortion, anti-abortion.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, that's probably children.
Yeah, or the babies. Or Christian. I think the word Christian is abortion.
Christian Children's Association.
Christian something is code for abortion. Family is code for gays.
Christian Babies Ministry.
Christian Zygote Ministry.
Oh,
the poor baby.
Poor Zygote.
Well, Brian Fisher wants to save the babies from the gays.
What?
Yeah.
Oh,
double duty. Apparently, he's been sending out tweets. he's been tweeting. In one of them, he called for a quote, underground railroad to deliver innocent children from same-sex households.
Dear God. But he's advocating
the kidnapping of children.
Kidnapping children.
From.
Who are legally.
Yeah.
Perhaps even biologically.
That's why it has to be an underground railroad, Frank. The slaves were legal too. But clearly it's morally wrong, so we gotta get them out.
Yeah.
Get them out.
Well, why don't we set up an underground railroad to get kids out of Christian homes?
There's competing railroads happening here. Everybody's getting kidnapped out of everybody else.
We're placing them in queer homes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just back and forth.
It's just it's a carousel. It's an underground carousel. Beep, 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 beep. And then you end up in a new home, and then somebody kidnaps you out of that and puts you in another home, and then you get kidnapped out of that and placed in another home.
I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't care what you believe. The enslavement of human beings
is
a little different. And freeing people from enslavement.
Even if you feel like because a kid being raised by a gay couple is hurting them on some level, you can't possibly think that it's as bad as someone who's been enslaved.
People, you know, pull guilt trips on their kids. Like,
Christian households are
beating them from like Jewish households.
For the guilt. Yeah, exactly. Why don't you call your mother? You've been kidnapped for 2 weeks and you haven't even called. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. This guy's a peach. Apparently, one of his tweets was referring to the story of a woman named Lisa Miller who, after declaring herself ex-gay, kidnapped her daughter away to Central America. From her former partner.
Hmm.
To keep her former partner from having any custody.
Wow.
I mean, people kidnapping their kids from their former partner or spouse is actually nothing new.
No.
And what's sad is that it's always the wrong parent.
Yeah.
The right parent wouldn't dream of kidnapping their child.
But might end up having to.
Right. Well, yeah, in order to get,
they don't find anything first. No.
That's not where they jump to
that conclusion. Second.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
No. That's bad. The phrase ex-gay is
amazing.
One of the saddest phrases on the planet.
Lisa Miller. That wasn't that woman here in Salt Lake, was it? Who moved to, like, Kansas or Missouri?
Let me see what I can find.
Because when you said Lisa Miller,
they were in Vermont. It was a civil union, so it was legal.
Okay.
So she was getting away from an actual, like, legal entanglement.
Oh, wow.
Because if they didn't have a legal civil union, if one of them was the biological mother, she just gets it.
Sure, yeah, that's true.
And if neither of them are, then I don't know what the... Then you have to look at
how the adoptions are,
right, exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
So, interesting. Why do gay people have to complicate everything?
I know. It's so much better when we know for a fact that the woman, that the mother always gets the child, because she's always the more fit parent, and it's always a man and a woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's how a lot of factors, I suppose.
Fewer factors.
That makes it simpler.
Yeah, exactly.
And if we can just rely on completely unreliable sort of ideas of what happens instead of, like, worrying about the truth of each individual fucking case, maybe we could get some stuff done in this
town. Yeah. These people.
Right?
Come on. Get off it.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. You can find us at TGI Atheist on Facebook and Twitter.
You sound sad when you say that.
It's a good thing.
It's good.
You should be excited
about
it.
Get on Facebook, guys.
Yeah, we now have a lot of likes.
Yeah. Yeah, we're in the 120 zone.
Somewhere around there.
Yeah. So that's still not...
Well, we're not Facebook celebrities, right?
No. But there's some fun conversation that happens on the Facebook, or you can, Twitter. Have you been tweeting at all?
It, like, does auto-tweet.
Supposedly.
Whatever activity happens on the Facebook is supposed to go to Twitter. I better make sure it's still doing that.
Yeah. Anyway, but you can do the Twitter thing. You can follow us if you want to.
If you follow, you'll get the update.
That's true.
Am I going to interact with you? Probably not.
don't
tweet me.
We're not Twitter.
Yeah.
But
if you follow the feed, you'll get the links and you'll get that kind of stuff.
Right. But also,
that stuff automatically all just goes up.
You know, people have been emailing. You've been getting some good emails, and the email address is podcast@thankgodimatheist.com.
And our voicemail number is 424-666. TGIA, that's 424-666-8442.
Somebody called and left a voicemail, and it was just nothing.
Yeah, it was creepy.
It's just nothing.
So that was creepy, whoever you are.
Yeah. Not creepy like we're scared.
Oh, I was scared.
I was...
See, they'd need to...
They'd need to have been breathing into the other end for me to be scared.
It was just
nothing. This was like 15, 20 seconds of nothing.
Just silence. Well, why can't I read into that?
Okay, read into it.
I read into it
so they just thickened out.
Or... if you were talking and it wasn't recording,
right? Yeah.
We didn't get your message.
Yeah,
so call back.
So yeah, call that number.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break.
We'll listen to.
This is going
to
be another.
It's like our go-to guy really lately.
Well, that's because he's
good, and he keeps saying things, and the things that he keeps saying are what he says.
That's patently absurd. So here we go.
Is it satanic? Is it some spiritual thing? People who are atheists, they hate God, they hate the expression of God, and they are angry with the world, angry with themselves, angry with society, and they take it out on innocent people who are worshiping God. And whether it's a Sikh temple or a Baptist church or a Catholic church or a Muslim mosque, whatever it is, I just abhor this kind of violence, and it's the kind of thing that we should do something about. But what do you do? What do you do? Well, you talk about the love of God and hope it has some impact.
Oh, Pat Robertson.
That guy is just a peach.
Isn't he? Yeah, he comes up with some pretty fun stuff. Gotta say.
It's our fault, Frank.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah. I mean,
people shoot up everything.
Because of atheists, a skinhead... who
skinheads
are not atheists. We know that much, and they are Christian.
Right.
Because it's not a Sikh temple.
Yeah, but because of atheists.
It was atheists' fault. Because, and this is good too, because we hate God.
Right.
Because because most people make it a practice of hating something that they don't even believe exists.
I usually, like for instance, I don't hate God.
How's that?
I go out of my way to hate the tooth fairy.
Hmm.
And I hate, Dr. Octopus. I don't like that guy at all.
Asshole.
From Spider-Man. And I hate Spider-Man, too. I'm just going to hate all things that are fictitious.
Okay.
Anything that I don't believe exists, I hate.
Good for you, Dan. That's what you're taking a stand.
Yeah.
You're taking a stand. That's awesome.
And I was inspired to do so by Mr. Robertson.
All right. Cool.
Yeah. I posted the thing on Facebook about this, but I just, not on our Facebook page, on my own personal Facebook page.
Oh, why are you talking about it?
Because I'm going to make the point that I made when I did that, which is that, you know, it's not that I don't think that we can blame these people's Christianity for their attacks on these, on, you know, on these things.
Mm.
I mean, we don't know about the two most recent guys, but we know that, like, Timothy McVeigh was a big Christian guy.
Oh, and, yeah.
Like, so, but you can't blame Christianity for that. But these guys want to blame us. I'm sorry, you can't come after me for the action of these guys.
No.
Anyway. But I do want to be clear that even though most of the people who commit atrocities like this, matter of fact, I would say most of the people who kill random large numbers of people for no apparent reason are doing it they have some sort of God belief.
Mm.
Whether they're Muslims blowing themselves up in the middle of a square or guys running into a theater shooting, most of them have a God belief.
Mm.
But I don't blame the church for that. Well, maybe Islam is a little lax on cracking down on people who do stuff like that. But, oh, man, it's just, you know, and the other thing is, I love Robertson's solution to the problem.
I don't teach people about Jesus.
Yeah, we just talk about Jesus and hope that something good happens.
Yeah.
That's a good move.
I mean, I think we should address all societal ills, by the way.
If only somebody had tried that for centuries and seen if it worked. If only someone had tested that theory many millions of times over to see if it worked. But at least then, if we use his strategy, we don't have to talk about actual failings in our society.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to talk about disenfranchisement of the outcasts or segmentation of society us versus them mentality.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to talk about any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. It's just God and Satan.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we have to talk about.
Yeah.
We haven't been talking enough about the Bible.
No. And we're not going to see that either.
No, we're going to talk about the Book of Mormon.
No, we're going to talk about the Doctrine and Covenants.
Okay, yay. You better explain what the hell the D&C is.
So, the Doctrine and Covenants. So, guys, you've heard of the Book of Mormon, right?
Oh, we've all heard of the Book of Mormon.
And you've heard of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The Bible has the Old Testament and the New Testament.
Yeah.
And then, so what's interesting is the Bible, I've heard Mormon say this one. So the Bible has the Old Testament and the New Testament, and then the Book of Mormon is another testament.
That's the very testament
of Jesus Christ.
Right.
And so, but then Mormons don't just stop at the Book of Mormon.
They also have other books of Scripture. Now, to be clear, the Book of Mormon was not written by Joseph Smith.
Not according to lore.
Right.
Yeah.
It was written by ancient Mesoamerican people.
Yes. Who were allegedly, descendants of immigrants from Israel.
Right.
So,
and they're all scribbling on gold plates of gold.
Yes.
Metal scribbles.
Metal, yes.
Which, strangely portable.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. You can get that around.
And then, so Joseph Smith just
translated
the Book of Mormon,
right?
But not the Doctrine and
Covenants. This is straight from the mouth of God through Joseph Smith. He is writing down
the image that I just got. I can't even share with you. It's so bad. But this is Revelation.
It's like human centipede-esque.
I'm just
like, okay. Oh God. This is evolution.
Evolution.
It's Revelation.
Yeah, there you go.
Similar sounding, I guess. I don't know how my brain makes those up. It's Revelation.
Yeah.
Revelation.
God talking straight to him.
And so English is the first language of this book.
The one that we got is not even, doesn't need to be translated.
Does not need to be translated.
It is the right language to begin with.
Yes, absolutely. English is yes. And then there's another book, which we don't need to go into any detail on. It's called The Pearl of Great Price. And it's just sort of this hodgepodge, melange of things I didn't know where to place.
Right.
So the Doctrine and Covenant,
including biblical,
including a
Joseph Smith retranslated.
Yeah. It was retranslated, but he read the English and was like, oh, it should have been written like this.
He did that to the Bible, and then he did a whole addendum, a whole new section of the Bible. It wasn't meant the Book of Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't meant to be part of the Book of Mormon.
No.
It's a book that somehow got forgotten in the Bible,
mm-hmm.
and thank God Joe Smith came up with it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a good guy.
So, so what we have going on here is this is like the book of all the rules, and this is the modern day how do you live and be good with God.
Yeah, sort of thing. Yeah.
This is
where the don't drink coffee comes from.
Exactly.
That sort of thing.
It's the Doctrine and Covenants is divided into sections.
Mm-hmm.
That's important. And then verses.
Section and verse.
Doctrine and Covenants 132, which is toward the end of the book, deals with this is where the whole polygamy thing comes from.
Mm-hmm.
132. But what you have to remember, in early Mormon parlance, plural marriage was just called celestial marriage.
Right.
Right. Let's quickly talk about this. Mormons believe in three heavens, basically, three levels of heaven.
Right.
There's the celestial kingdom, which is the highest.
Yeah.
And this is where God lives, and those who follow his full law.
And it has the best water park.
Yeah. Then you have the terrestrial kingdom.
Right.
Terrestrial.
Terrestrial. Meaning earthly, but strangely, that's not what ends up happening.
No.
That word means that, but don't get confused.
It's more for people who live a good life.
Mm.
Maybe they didn't have the fullness of the gospel.
Mm-mm.
But they were
decent folk.
Decent folk. And then you have the celestial kingdom, and those are for people who followed carnal law.
These are bad people.
These are adulterers and fornicators and blah, blah, blah.
Okay. Hitler.
Hitler, yes, Hitler gets one of the degrees of glory.
Yes, he does.
Celestial kingdom.
And you know what? And by the way, we're not talking about hell here.
No.
We're talking about what Joe Smith defined the celestial kingdom as being a glorified version of earth.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
We're not fire and brimstone. It's not fire and brimstone. It's nice.
You think, let's say you grew up Christian.
Mm.
Your idea of heaven, it's probably right around there with the celestial.
Yeah.
Right? These Mormons take this whole heaven thing way far.
Oh, yeah.
And also of note, then, is that Mormons don't believe in hell.
Right.
The closest thing they have is they refer to as outer darkness.
Right.
And outer darkness is reserved for only those who deny Christ. And
having known him,
yeah.
Right.
So even
you and I, who deny Christ all the damn time,
that's not denying Christ.
We're not denying Christ in the outer darkness.
We are bound for the celestial kingdom.
Oh, I think I can get terrestrial.
You think?
Yeah. I don't have enough sins on my card to get up there.
I don't know, Dan. I think your non-believing ways would put you in the celestial.
Oh, so nice.
Doesn't matter. I think that you'd need to, like, acknowledge God in this.
And God knows the content of my heart.
Anyways. Okay, good. I thought it'd be fun just to read through some of the verses and just, like, hear your reaction, Dan, because you said that you weren't that familiar with
it. I didn't study up for this one, so
yeah.
I'm just going to respond. I'm going to be proxy for all of
our listeners. Also, what's really important, you need to just remember that this was the case for plural marriage.
Right.
And Emma, Joseph Smith's wife.
One of Joseph Smith's wives.
Well, the first one.
The first one.
She was not happy with this idea.
No.
At all. Okay. So I would also like to just call DNC 132. Emma, please let me have sex with other women.
No, Emma, you have to let me have. God says you have to let me have sex with other women.
Yeah, that's exactly.
By the way, ladies and gentlemen listening, if you're not familiar with Mormon scripture, I'm going to give you. Get out your Mormon scripture bingo cards. If you hear the word verily, that counts as anything in the B column.
Okay.
If you hear the word. The phrase, it came to pass, that's probably less likely in D&D.
Maybe less likely in D&D.
But you'll hear plenty of verilies And I say unto you,
mm-hmm.
And yeah. So let's go on.
Probably also, I am looking at the page, but some of the words that are standing out to me. Exceeding.
Exceeding?
That's the word exceeding.
They do. That makes
what's
it
another
fun.
One? Verily, verily, obviously.
You can double up your verily.
Oh, yeah.
You don't need just one verily.
Oh, sometimes there are multiple verily.
You can double those up. Double down on your verily.
Okay. So I want to start with verse 15. I'm going to read a couple of them here. I'll kind of stop and feel free, Dan, to jump in.
Okay.
Therefore, if a man marry him, therefore, if a man marry him a wife in the world, and he marries her not by me.
Oh, wait, that's the other thing. Sorry. If you hear really crazy grammar, that's another thing. Okay, go ahead. Sorry. If a man marry him a wife, go on.
In the world, and he marry her not by me, nor by my word, and covenant with her, so long as he is in the world and she with him, their covenant and marriage are not of force when they are dead. And when they are out of the world, therefore, they are not bound by any law when they are out of the world.
Meaning, me and my wife, because we weren't married in the temple,
exactly.
Once we're dead, our marriage is over.
Exactly.
Which is kind of what we assume anyway, but okay.
Right. But also of note, in the lower two kingdoms, they are, separated by gender.
Ah.
So you wouldn't even be able to go find her. You wouldn't even be able to, go hang out with Andrew.
Meaning, I've got to become, figure out how to be gay.
Right.
But by the time I die. Yeah, that worked out perfect.
Joseph Smith wasn't thinking about that.
No.
But anyway, so on to 16. Therefore, when they are out of the world, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are appointed angels in heaven.
Ooh.
Which angels are ministering servants to minister for those who are worthy of a far more and an exceeding and an eternal weight of glory.
These are butlers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Fun.
For these angels did not abide by my law. therefore, they cannot be enlarged, but remain separately and singly without exaltation in their saved condition to all eternity, and from henceforth are not gods, but are angels of God forever and ever.
What does mean? So these are the people that didn't follow Christ in the pre-existence.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't get to have a body and get to be like us.
Right.
But they get to be in the serving class of heaven.
Yeah. Yeah. Indeed. In the tertiary economy.
Yeah, exactly.
The service economy.
It's still heaven. They're still in heaven.
They work in the call center.
But they're just, it's an upstairs, downstairs sort of deal. They're the downstairs.
Yeah.
Yes.
Make me some ambrosia. Oh, my God. And this is important. Mormons have been really downplaying this whole becoming God thing.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they want to see mainstream. They've got Mitt up there running.
Right.
And they need to be downplaying the whole thing. The early part of DNC 132, it was amazing. I mean, it's saying you will be God, you will this, you will that. I mean, this is scripture.
Mm.
And there's no way around it.
No.
Okay, I think that was, 19, verse 19 I wanted to read. And again, verily I say unto you, if a man marry a wife by my word, which is my law, and my new and everlasting covenant, and it is sealed unto them in the Holy Spirit of promise, by him who is anointed, unto whom I have appointed this power, and the keys of this priesthood, and it shall be said unto them, ye shall come forth in the first resurrection, and if it be after the first resurrection, and in the next resurrection, and shall inherit thrones, kingdoms, principalities, and powers, dominions, all heights and depths, then shall it be written in the Lamb's book of life that he shall commit no murder whereby to shed innocent blood. And if ye abide in my covenant and commit no murder whereby to shed innocent blood, it shall be done unto them in all things whatsoever my servants have put upon them in time and through all eternity, and shall be of full force when they are out of the world. And they shall pass by the angels and the gods which are set there to their exaltation and glory in all things, as hath been sealed upon their heads, which glory shall be a fullness and a continuation of the seeds forever and ever.
What the fuck did you just say? Was there an end stop anywhere in there? Jesus Christ, it's like the longest worst run-on sentence in the planet, nothing was said.
The first period is, at the end of it. That was one sentence. That whole thing was that one sentence.
That is so... Oh, my God.
Okay.
I want to punch everybody. I literally couldn't pay attention. I could not continue.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It just turned into church blabber.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry.
So what the hell did you just say?
Well, that's the whole, you need to be married
in the temple,
by someone who has the sealing power. That's what he was saying.
All of that was just for that.
More or less. And
What's that murder thing in the middle of? What does that have to do with anything?
No, don't murder somebody.
We already know not to murder. That's in the top 10.
Are you kidding me? All right, so verse 34 I thought was also interesting. God commanded Abraham and Sarah. Wait. God commanded Abraham, and Sarah gave Hagar to Abraham to wife. And why did she do so? Because this was the law.
Oh, here
and from Hagar sprang many people. This, therefore, was fulfilling, among other things, the promises. Was Adam, therefore, under condemnation? Verily, I say unto you, nay, for I, the Lord, commanded it.
You said Adam, you meant Abraham.
Oh, did I?
Oh, I think so. Was Abraham, therefore, under condemnation?
Yeah. Abraham was commanded to offer his son Isaac. Nevertheless, it was written, thou shalt not kill. Abraham, however, did not refuse, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness.
Oh my God.
Abraham received concubines, and they bore him children, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness, because they were given unto him, and he abode in my law. As Isaac also, and Jacob did, none other things than which they were commanded. And because they did none other things than that which they were commanded, they have entered into their exaltation according to the promises, and sit upon thrones, and are not angels, but are gods. Right? And he goes,
it is so obvious.
He is laying out the case for
setting
out.
Yeah, he is literally like making point by point argument so that he can say. By the way. Did I just hear you use the word abode as a past tense of abide?
I swear
that's what that says.
Abode.
He abode
in my law.
Yeah. Isn't that what he's trying to do there?
Uh-huh.
That is not how that works.
I'm sorry.
Okay, I just looked it up. Apparently it is an archaic past of abide.
Ooh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Way to go.
And Joseph Smith liked anything.
He loves archaic.
Yeah.
It made him sound all fancy.
And this is a continuation of him still just trying, laying on thick here.
Right.
David also received many wives and concubines, and also Solomon and Moses, my servant, as also many others of my servants, from the beginning of creation until this time. And in nothing did they sin, save in those things which they received not of me. David's wives and concubines were given unto him by me, by the hand of Nathan, my servant, and others of the prophets who had the keys of this power. And in none of these things did he sin against me, save in the case of Uriah and his wife.
All right.
And therefore, he hath fallen from his exaltation and received his portion.
Right.
And he shall not inherit them out of the world. For I gave them unto another, saith the Lord. Now, this is getting into some interesting
stuff. Like, this guy didn't fall because he had multiple wives. He fell for another reason.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yes.
It wasn't the wife thing.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be clear on this.
Mm-hmm. And so now it says, I am the Lord thy God, and I gave unto thee my servant Joseph an appointment, and restore all things. Ask what ye will, and it shall be given unto you according to my word. And this is where it starts in on what is common. We're going to throw out the cult word here.
Mm.
What's common in a lot of cults and religious movements, small religious movements of the 19th century, which is the cult leader would claim authority to, like, flop around husbands and wives.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And he would claim, like,
tell you who you can marry and who you can't.
Marry, who you can't. He would say that he could have sex with another.
Mm-hmm.
This was not just Mormonism.
Sex with politics is huge in religion.
Yeah. And so here we go. And as ye have asked concerning adultery, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man receiveth a wife in the new and everlasting covenant, and if she be with another man, and I have not appointed unto her, by the holy anointing, he hath committed adultery and shall be destroyed. And if she not be in the new and everlasting covenant, and she be with another man, she has committed adultery. And if her husband be with another woman, and he was under a vow, she hath broken his vow, and hath committed adultery.
Oh.
And if he hath not committed adultery, but is innocent, and hath not broken her vow, and she knoweth it, and I reveal it unto you, my servant Joseph, then shall you have power, by the power of my holy priesthood, to take her, and give her unto him that hath not committed adultery, but hath been faithful, for he shall be made ruler over many.
Dun, dun, da, da.
Yeah.
No.
And so, I send to you that which you seal on earth shall be sealed in heaven, or you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. I mean, it just keeps going. Whatever you remit on earth shall be remitted in heaven. And whosoever sins you retain on earth shall be retained in heaven.
Oh. Again,
whosoever you curse, I curse. It just keeps going on and on and on and on.
He who dies with the most remittings wins.
Yes,
I think.
And then, here's an interesting part.
Yeah.
Verily, this is verse 51.
Is this a verily or a verily, verily?
This is a verily.
Oh.
That's a verily I say unto you. Okay. Verily I say unto you, a commandment I give unto mine handmaid Emma Smith.
Emma.
God called her out by name. Okay. Your wife, whom I have given unto you, that she stay herself and partake not of that which I commanded you to offer unto her, for I did it, saith the Lord, to prove you all, as I did Abraham, that I might require an offering at your hand by covenant and sacrifice. And let my handmaid Emma Smith receive all those that have been given unto my Joseph Smith, unto my servant Joseph Smith, and who are virtuous and pure before me, and those who are not pure, and have said they were pure, shall be destroyed, saith the Lord God. Okay?
Wait a minute.
So we're saying, this is the line, let mine handmaid Emma Smith receive all those that have been given unto my servant Joseph. And all the women.
All the women that, yeah.
So this is God saying, Emma, come on, get on board. You know?
Although, one interpretation of that, not the one that anyone took at that time, but one interpretation is like, Emma, you know, you can see these girls too if you want.
I don't think that was ever part of it.
Emma, you can.
Although it was never, like,
I'm just saying,
it's not prohibited. We're just talking about men and women.
They're being married to each other. Mm. I'm sorry, if you're married to somebody, you get to have sex with them.
I don't think anybody interprets it that way.
No, but I do now. Yeah. When I start my religion, that's going to be one of the things. And verily I say unto thee, thy servant, my servant Daniel can watch while you get it on with each other, if you want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
54. And I command my handmaid, Emma Smith, to abide and cleave unto my servant Joseph and to none else. But if she will not abide this commandment, shall be... But if she will not abide this commandment, she shall be destroyed, saith the Lord. For I am the Lord thy God, and will destroy her, if she abide not my law.
You don't get any, but if you don't support him in getting a lot, then fuck you, I'm going to kill you.
But if she will not abide this commandment, then shall my servant Joseph do all things for her, even as he hath said. And I will bless him and multiply him and give unto him 100-fold in this world, and fathers and mothers, brothers and sisters, houses and lands, wives and children, and crowns of eternal lives in the eternal world. Let me go down.
Hey, Emma, you'll be rich. Just let him do this and you'll be rich.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, let me get down to the one last thing. Okay. And again, as pertaining to the law of the priesthood, if any man espouse a virgin and desire to espouse another, and then first give her consent, and if he espouse the second, and they
give her consent,
virgins, and have vowed to no other man, then he is justified. He cannot commit adultery, for they are given unto him, for he cannot commit adultery with that belongeth unto him and to no one else. And if he has 10 virgins given unto him by this law, he cannot commit adultery, for they belong to him, and they are given unto him. Therefore, is he justified?
It's in there. There it is.
Mm-hmm.
Laid out in black and white.
10 virgins.
You can have as many damn virgins as you want as long as you're a guy.
Yeah.
Andy,
well, I mean,
the first one has to consent.
Because you have to wait. You have to, like, be a martyr and wait till, like, heaven, for the afterlife, to get your virgins.
Well, no.
Mormons, like,
Islam lets you have multiple wives.
Well, yeah, that's true.
So they can do this. But yeah, if they want the 72 virgins, they can just blow themselves
yeah,
up.
Yeah, that's true.
The ugly ones really need to blow themselves up. The rest of them can get them while they're here.
Oh.
Virgins, get them while they're hot!
Oh, it's socially awkward.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
You gotta blow yourself up if you want a virgin. If you're ugly. What are you gonna... You got no social skills, buddy. You
never need
that. Yeah, I got a way to get to 72.
Oh.
You'll have more than most of the sultans.
Oh.
I hope you feel good about that.
That's nice. Yeah.
Well, there you go. You know,
I thought that was... I don't know. I don't know if people enjoy that or not. Let us know. But
here's the thing. So this is what led to the Mormons starting their whole polygamy thing.
Yeah.
And that continued for a good long while.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Section 132 is still doctrinal. It's still scriptural.
Right.
It's still a part of the Doctrine and Covenant.
They didn't divest themselves of that section.
They didn't redact any part of it.
Right.
They didn't do anything. These are the words of God to Joseph Smith.
Now, they did add unto, which is to say that Wilford Woodruff had who was a later president and prophet of the church.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's true.
Did a manifesto.
Yeah.
That said, we're not doing it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
God told me.
Right. And I kind of did misspeak at the beginning. I said the whole thing was written by Joseph Smith, but there were actually, I think, two sections. 136 was given to Brigham Young.
Mm.
137 was back to Joseph Smith. And I think 138 is the last one, and that's President Joseph F. Smith.
Mm. Wow.
So, and this was in October 1918. So as recently as 1918, it's been added to.
Yeah.
So.
Is the manifesto in it? I don't think so. Manifesto was 18,
I don't think so. No, I don't think it was ever added to the statute.
No. Yeah. So yeah, the manifesto just says, it's basically a press release, is really what it is.
Yeah.
But it just says that, we're not doing it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the deal with the not doing it anymore. They are still doing it. And I'm not talking about the ones who are like, because if a mainstream Mormon now marries multiple wives, he gets excommunicated.
And it will if the church finds out about it.
Right.
Yes.
But if a mainstream Mormon is married, if a Mormon man is married to a woman and she dies or they get a divorce, just a civil divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And then he marries somebody else, by their theology, he's married to both in eternity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Women can't do that, but men can
still do that.
So they still have a theological polygamy that goes on, that is completely part of their theology.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Unequivocally, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes it all the more fun when guys like Mittens Romney says things like, he said some quote about, I can't imagine anything worse than polygamy.
It's
like, dude,
well,
you're still in it.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah.
Yep.
There was a really interesting article, excuse me, by Joanna Brooks, who's was just on The Daily Show just the other day.
Mm.
She's a Mormon, but she's a reasonably honest Mormon, which is an interesting distinction, because she's willing to talk about things openly that most Mormons aren't, and they're distinctly not willing to.
Mm-hmm.
And as a matter of fact, this article in the Religion Dispatch is called "Does Mormonism Encourage LDS People to Lie?"
Okay.
And it's a pretty frank thing. She says that it doesn't that much, but she does comment that, you know, the polygamy thing is a tough issue for Mormons, because they don't want to talk about, talk about the fact that, yeah, they still believe in polygamy.
Mm-hmm.
It's still part of their belief system.
Mm.
Most Mormons now hate the idea.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hate it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still there.
Oh, yeah, it's absolutely.
And they won't talk about it. And they'll lie. They'll be like, no, we don't do it anymore. And she's saying, well, you know, we do it still. We mm-hmm. just don't do it, like, two at a time or more
right.
now.
Right.
But in the next life, totally doing it.
Oh, yeah.
Still totally on the table.
They're all planning for it.
Yeah. And a lot of people think that once they get to heaven, they're going to be assigned more wives.
Oh, absolutely. Because more women will make it to heaven.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know why. Yeah, no, maybe.
But no, I know, I've heard my mom say things about it.
Oh, have you?
And how she's just like, I don't know. I mean, I guess we'll just have to figure that out at the time.
Right. Yeah.
Which is planning to decide in the afterlife.
Right. And
that's what she's planning.
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do?
That's insanity.
Yeah. Well, and imagine this. Let's just say that your mom gets divorced from your dad.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to happen, but let's just say that that's what happens. She doesn't like him anymore. He's been a dick to her or something. And,
right.
Well, let's not make it your parents. But somebody.
It could be my parents. He's old and it's not going to happen.
Right. Two people start to really hate each other. They get divorced. But he doesn't grant her a temple divorce. Which he would have to do. Like, a temple divorce is hard to get. It's hard to convince the church leaders to divorce you eternally.
Usually, my understanding is it's usually done once the woman, the wife, has somebody new lined up.
Yeah.
But it's usually about the time when it happens. Because otherwise, they don't want to leave you in this weird, like, spiritual limbo.
Without a husband.
Without a husband.
What are you going to do? You don't have a husband.
Yeah.
You can't rather
be married to that asshole over there.
Right.
And be in the celestial kingdom.
Right.
You don't get married. And what?
You don't get
servant.
You don't get the exaltation.
Angel.
You don't get the exaltation.
Go be a goddess.
It's amazing.
Go make planets.
Go
have babies forever.
So there are these women staring down the barrel of eternity with a guy they hate.
Yeah.
That's what they get to think about.
Uh-huh.
Like eternity with that dickhole that they divorced. Because they couldn't even make a marriage work, even when with their bishop telling them, no, you need to make this work.
Yeah. And I mean, they couldn't figure out, you know, marriage here.
Right.
And they're going to be making planets.
Yeah. That's eternity.
It's eternity. They're having billions of spiritual offspring.
Ugh. The eternal cold shoulder. That's a rough one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, at least it's like, I'm sure it's not like, I mean, the sex is so different.
It better be.
It's celestial sex.
She's got him and that's it.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing the sexuals are the same in heaven.
A lot of sex.
Billions. They have to make all those spirit children.
Yeah. But where do they come from? They're not just like, you know,
I think they cook them.
Your big cauldron?
A big old, it's like a big giant celestial oven.
Create spirit.
Little cupcake creatures.
Souls for the bodies that will come later. So they can have their own war in heaven. Because that's the whole thing, right? Like, did anybody watch Battlestar Galactica? The whole, whatever.
The original one or the
new one? Even the new one. Because it had the same line in it, where what happened before will happen again, whatever, that whole thing. Well, dude was Mormon.
Yeah, he took that straight out of Mormon theology.
Yeah, and so, like, the whole thing is, you're going to go, you're going to create a planet, you're going to pick one of your kids, probably the firstborn, to go down and be a sacrifice for the rest so that you can satisfy these eternal mechanisms that have to happen.
Yeah.
Why, in God's name, and who set it up, who knows, but that's what Mormons believe.
Yeah.
Mormons. We're into faith doctrine. They call it faith doctrine. They would disavow all of this. They would just be like, then you're not supposed to talk about them.
But it's there.
It's all there.
They can't disavow it completely.
Nope.
Because there it is.
There it is.
So
right there, folks.
Or
boom, boom.
Boom, boom, boom.
Boom, 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 boom. That'll start to go.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. The miniseries.
Yeah, anyway.
I'm geeking out, people.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway. All right. Well, Dan.
Peace.
Was that another?
Final Mormon frontier. The final doctrine.
The final doctrine.
These are the voyages of the starship Kolob.
Kolob.
These are the voyages of the handcart Kolob. Its continuing mission
to have spiritual babies and make planets
and be boring.
To sacrifice their firstborn.
To give up new drinks and new civilization.
And to bore another.
to boldly bore where no one has bored before.
Alright. Find us at TGIATS.
TGIATS.
TGIATS on Facebook and Twitter.
And write to us at podcast@thankgodimatheist.com
or leave us a voicemail at 424-666-8442. We'd love to hear from you.
All right, thanks, guys.
Have a good one.
Bye.